Welcome to the Coworkers Podcast with Jesse and Shaney,
where every believer is a coworker in God's mission.
All right, welcome back, friends. This is another episode in our series on the preeminence of Christ in all things. And today we're going to be talking specifically about the preeminence of Christ in suffering, and joined by a very dear friend of ours to help us talk through this and think about what that means, how those truths about Christ from Colossians 1 about his preeminence in all things, that in all things he might be preeminent. How does that apply to the real nitty gritty, just the realities of suffering and loss and painful loss? So Becca's here to help us think through that.
Yes, our coworker and dear friend, and I feel like little sister to me, Becca, is here with us. So welcome, Becca.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Our listeners have already heard about you and Chris and parts of your story just here and there throughout the last year. But I wanted our listeners to be able to hear your story. And I have two desires in this episode. One is truly, I just know hearing from you how faithful God has been to you is going to result in glory to God and people really seeing the preeminence of Christ. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I know there's listeners going through difficulties, and a lot of those probably aren't as hard as what you've gone through with your husband going to heaven, but I think it will help people to see that even if the big scary thing that they're worried about, even if that would happen, Jesus will be enough for them. And that's what your story very, very clearly teaches me. Jesus will be enough every moment. And we can keep having hope for our futures. I mean, Chris just went to heaven in August, so it hasn't even been very long. So I'm super thankful that you're just willing to talk about it. It's not like it's been a year and you've had all this time to process. So thank you for that. And even though you're significantly younger than us and you were serving on our team, truly in this season, you've mentored me in how to pray and not give up hope, and how to serve your husband and children so selflessly and courageously. So I'm so thankful for you and just excited that our listeners can be encouraged and spurred on through you.
Thank you.
That's right. So just a short kind of summary, a little background on Chris and Becca's story and how our stories overlap is that they came in late 2019 to serve on our team here in our city and were with us. They were lockdown buddies for us in the spring of 2020. Lived nearby. There were our neighbors that were accessible to us. They were in our same building. So we were locked down in our building, but we were still able to go back and forth and see our neighbors. Watched a lot of episodes of The Chosen together as well. And we got, I think it was a weekly sourdough loaf from Chris.
At least.
That was awesome. So awesome. So walked through that initial lockdown, and then they and we went back to the States in summer of 2020. They found out that they were pregnant with baby number two while they were back in the States. And so they decided to wait for little baby Reagan to come, and then found out in July of 21 about Chris's sickness, just out of the blue, a cancer diagnosis, and treatment started then. And then over the course of another year or so of some good potential reports of possibly healing, and then going back to another diagnosis, and then Chris passed away while they were in the States on August 28th of 2022. And so we were able to walk through that with them from a distance. Shaney even able to go back for the service, the memorial for Chris as well. But just like Shaney said, we've been incredibly blessed and encouraged by your example of faith throughout this, Becca. You have not only blessed us, and it's not only us that have learned from you, but many others as well around you.
That's an honor every time I hear it, because I'm just a vessel.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, we wanted to take some time just to allow you to testify to God's goodness in the midst of suffering. And like we talked about, Christ's preeminence over everything in the midst of unimaginable loss. So what would you say you've learned about God through this? How do you view God differently now on this side of Chris's passing?
As I think about that question, I mean, the list is so long of things that I've learned. While also, it's not that like, oh, epiphany, God loves me. Like, I already knew God loved me, but it's like what Paul prayed for the churches of like, I pray that you would know the depth and the width and the breadth, like the infinite mass of love that God has for us. I mean, also it brings to mind, like, if the greatest of everything, faith, hope, and love remain, and the greatest of these is love, and that's what God showed me. He showed me a lot of faith and hope, of how to have faith and hope through that entire year. And even before the diagnosis, as soon as the dentist, he was getting his teeth cleaned, said that lump or your tonsil looks concerning, you should go to an ENT, and the ENT said it could be cancer, I found God giving faith and hope way back then. And I never could have imagined what he would bring me to in faith and hope. But way over that, I see Jesus's love for me. Like, I'm processing the trauma that I've gone through and in counseling and all of that. But all of it is like a shadow in comparison to the bright light that I see when I look back on this last year and with some change and see God's just love. And that shows in his faithfulness, it shows in his provision, it shows in his sustaining of me. But overall, I have this different view, this like grander view of just how much he loves me. Yeah, it can get really specific in, man, the amount of provision, like, and like supernatural instant provision, the number of times that I saw his faithfulness in, we got insurance when you're not allowed to switch insurance, like, miraculously, we got connected to someone who switched our insurance so we could get into MD Anderson. We saw Chris get into remission. And now what we knew about his cancer, that should never have happened. I talked to the doctor about this after Chris passed, and in tears, I pointed out that miracle, that there was no evidence of disease when it was already in his brain and he felt completely fine, and that should not have happened since it was already in his brain. He shouldn't have made it out of the first treatment, knowing what we know now, and that we completely missed it, that they couldn't find it in his brain, so they didn't treat that at first. And so the miracles of healing that God did along the way that changed the course of that story that could have ended very abruptly in August of 2021 instead of 2022. Man, the list goes on and on of just how Jesus did provide healing along the way. And then also, as he provided every step of the way, just enough more faith and hope for me to keep going. And same for Chris. Like, he was right there. It's not like I was the only one with faith and hope. He was right there with me, feeling like the Spirit sustain him with faith and hope that we had so much confidence he was going to be healed. And then I think this is also the kicker, and if that was to tell anybody that was going through suffering anything, it would be this: watching God's love sustain me in the disappointment. After he gave me that faith and hope, he also gave me the faith and hope and the disappointment on the back end. And like, you really can trust him to ask the crazy stuff, like to save my husband, to resurrect my husband. And then even if he says no, you don't have to worry about that answer while you're asking. You can ask just counting, just like a kid doesn't ask their parents for a gift and then start self-protecting by saying, and if you say no, this is going to help you. I'm already self-comforting myself in case of the no. They just ask thinking they're going to get a yes. And then on the back end, they also trust their parents to comfort them if they don't get them the gift or whatever, or the gift is different, is probably a better way to put it. Going back to the overarching thing I've learned is for sure his love will completely, like, it's light and it will cast out all the darkness in the darkest of places. And so I don't look back on the year and see, oh, that was a really dark season. I see so much light. And that was him, his presence and his love, just unending, so wide and deep and broad and infinite.
Wow. I feel like that was one very clear lesson that God taught us through your journey. Any possible disappointment, we can trust God with that. Because, I mean, to be honest, we did find ourselves afraid of that. I think back to Chris's last week or so on the earth, and I did have that fear in my heart. And I love that God gave you, like you said, faith and hope. I mean, just nonstop, no matter what was going on, no matter the circumstances, no matter the report, God gave you the words of scripture as your response, that what is too difficult for the Lord? Just many verses like that. His love is big enough to care for any disappointment. That should not hold us back from praying with big prayers, with faith and hope.
Yeah, I think it was just so affirming. I think you lived exactly what you spoke just now about that example of faith, believing with full confidence and asking with full confidence for full healing, and then continuing to trust in his goodness when that answer wasn't what you wanted. I think that the picture we often talked about, and I'm sure this was in your mind as well, was David, you know, laboring in prayer, fasting in prayer over his child who was hanging in the balance. I feel like we were the counselors, right, who came up. They were afraid to tell David that the child had died. Because what's he going to do now? He's been so distraught and so just pleading with the Lord. But it says that when they told him, when he found out, he got up and he washed his face. And he was comforted by the Lord in the midst of that as well. And I think that was just a perfect real life example of you living out again that history of David's trust and faith in the Lord and the Lord's provision for us in the midst of that. Mm-hmm. That, like you said, that tendency we have to hedge our bet. To say, oh, if you want, Lord, right? We're maybe even in advance, we're kind of protecting our hearts against disappointment. But to know that even that we can entrust to the Lord fully, that he'll be enough for us in that.
For sure. Amen.
As I think back on the year, Becca, there were a lot of ups and downs. Like you said, there were a lot of miracles of like, oh my goodness, God is answering our prayer. Chris got an awesome report. And then some surprising moments of bad news of cancer found. And we were with you one day in March, even we got to come visit you. And we were at your house when you like had a Zoom call with the nurse and, you know, you're getting news. And that wasn't any particular like big important day of news, but it gave me a picture of all the moments you had to get news from the doctor, from the nurses. So many tests, so many moments of like waiting to find out. And I know that the Lord met you in some really specific personal ways and through specific scriptures. So I wondered if there were any specific moments or specific promises that you would like to share.
What's coming to mind of something that really stood out? So when Chris surprisingly relapsed and didn't just relapse, and it wasn't just in his bone marrow again or his blood, it was in his brain. And they weren't sure he was going to make it out of the ICU last February. The doctor was very grim. I got a voice memo from a friend who also had a husband with recurrent cancer. And she just lathered on the scripture. Like the voice memo is mainly the scripture. she basically just said, this is what I wish someone would have said to me the day my husband relapsed. But the main thing that stood out to me in that was renew my mind. Because doctors' words, they're just words in the wind in comparison to the word of God. Like the word of God is what is our bread. That's what will stand forever. And so whatever that doctor is saying, just does not have, it has weight because it's like, this is what's physically in front of me, but the spiritual is even more real than the physical. Like, we will be forever with the Lord and he will give us new bodies, but like, we are not at war with flesh and blood, but with much greater things in the spiritual realm. And so it just changed my perspective of like, I need to renew my mind so that when I get reports, it's just this, like, it changed my mind. Like, it instantly was like this shift of, these reports are only what this doctor can see in the physical. He has no idea what's going on actually. And what I see in the word of God is that his word will stand. He will be faithful. He wants to give us good gifts. He's a good father. He loves us so much. And that hasn't changed. And it won't change no matter what a doctor says to me. Also, I was challenged by, I mean, later on, when we were in the ICU, God just kept bringing up scripture on resurrection, John 11. And then he also kept bringing to mind 1 Corinthians. I'm horrible at references, but when he says, like, we are a people of the resurrection, so we believe in resurrection. I'm like, okay. So I should believe that that's, it should not be a question. It should be my gut reaction. So just how many scriptures he brought to mind under the umbrella of renew your mind, and his word is what will stand forever. And his word is what is my bread and my sustenance. And man does not live on bread alone, but on every word of God. And so not just the word, but like the weightiness and the like truth in all of our lives is going to come back to, do we believe that God is who he says he is in the word, or are we going to let our circumstances dictate or change our view of him because our circumstances are so in our face? My mind was, it was, yeah, like February 2021 was this huge shift in my mind from whenever I heard a doctor. And I think part of that's cultural, like, but also innate. If we hear a doctor tell us something, doctors seem to have this authority. And so that could be a different situation for someone else. Like, their boss at work has this authority and says, this is going to happen to you at work. We could come away and be like, well, that's going to happen. That's just the way it is. Instead of being like, God, Jesus said he has all authority. And so I will understand what they're saying and honor and respect. But yeah, now I think of like what I learned back then in February was preparing me for the moment when the doctor pulled me aside after Chris had been in the ICU for, I don't know, 12 hours and basically told me he has hours at best. And then asked me to remove my request to resuscitate so that they would just let him pass. In that moment, the renewal that God had done in like, his word stands, he is faithful, keep standing on the word and keep listening to the Spirit, not to the doctor in front of me. And I sensed the Spirit say, Chris is not dying today. And I was like, okay, that feels like really bold. But I just said, thank you. And by God's grace, I had a woman who had come to pray for Chris with me, who had also gone through cancer and miraculously been healed of cancer. And she was like, she just blathered on the honor as well. Like, you're doing such a great job. Thank you so much for your help. We're going to go back in and pray for Chris now. And we all hugged and they were all like, what is happening? But not in like a weird, not in a bad way. Like, okay, like we're glad that we had this conversation. It was, and then Chris did not die that day. He passed 2 weeks later. He miraculously recovered that day. They didn't treat him at all. They literally just had some heart pressure medication. He was intubated, but they weren't giving him treatment for the cancer that was running wild. They weren't giving him treatment for all his failing organs, and his organs just started miraculously recovering that day. And the next day they were like, we don't know what's going on, but we have a window, so we're going to start treatment. And then what happened the next 2 weeks transpired. But I say all that to say, like, I could not have entered a conversation with a doctor telling me my husband had hours to live with that kind of spirit dependence and just confidence in the word and the spirit over what the doctor said, if I hadn't gone through what I went through in February, and then again in June, whenever he had seizures, just the things that God took these passages and let the word renew my mind. And I kept clinging to, like, what does your scripture say? Instead of what is a doctor telling me or a nurse telling me. While the blood work is helpful, it just helps me know how to pray. It's not determining of my life.
Yeah.
It feels so hope giving. It feels like so strengthening. I remember this time that a friend of mine said the difference between something that's true and something that is the truth, like capital T, the truth, and how like there are all these things that go on in our lives that are true. They're truly happening, whether it's a sick child or some kind of difficult situation that are right in front of us. But there's this greater truth that if we can keep our eyes on and not kind of let Satan bully us and get us so discouraged by the hard in front of us. I just find that your testimony, like, really strengthening me. Like, no matter what happens, Shaney, you have the truth. You have the promises of God. They're not changing. You don't have to worry.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. The protection I saw also about, I mean, don't be anxious about anything. Oh, how many of us have had that, like, cross stitched on a pillow or like hung on a wall? But with everything in prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. Chris and I talked about that of like whenever Chris would have like a weird like ding in his head, and he would get a little anxious. Like, I don't know what that was. Was that cancer or was it just my head? Did I turn the wrong way? And we learned it was the cancer coming back. But in those moments, we talked about like, okay, well, we don't know that it's the cancer coming back. And so let's keep like not being anxious about cancer and not being anxious about what's going to happen, but pray and then be thankful. This is also something in that passage that I think, I mean, maybe people have different opinions on it, but just learn the difference between being thankful and being like in all things is the call, not being thankful for all things. And so I don't have to thank God for cancer, but I can thank God in the midst of cancer for so much. And we did that. We're like, thank you so much. Like, whenever one time he had a weird episode, we didn't realize it was a pre-seizure episode until the next week when he actually had a seizure. But he had a weird episode where he basically just wasn't himself. It kind of freaked me out because I was like, what is happening? Then we, talked about, let's pray. And not be anxious and be thankful that we're here at the zoo and having this great time. And literally, like, Margot doesn't remember any weird thing happening from that to this day. Whenever we talk about going to the zoo, she just thinks about how much fun she had with her daddy at the zoo and is just so grateful for the time she had with her daddy at the zoo. And so, like, that's just such a small example, but of in every day we got to be thankful for so many things and worship God for his faithfulness. And man, even something that actually came up recently that I'm like realizing is in scripture of like how God continues to meet us and uplift us in such a humbling place like suffering. In Psalm 40, well, actually, so I meditated, this is a total sidebar, but in college I'd been pleading with God for years to humble me and to remove my pride because it felt like it was just always in my face. And he pressed on me to memorize Psalm 39, which is a very humbling passage. You're just constantly saying like, let me know the number of my days. Let me know how weak I am and how like, just let me know how insignificant I am, Lord. And meditating on Psalm 39. And then if you just go to Psalm 40, it's like there should be a pair. Like Psalm 39 is like the humbling one. And then Psalm 40 is him showing how he exalts the humble. And so it's like, you put my feet on the rock. You make my steps secure. And then it says, you put a song of praise in my mouth. Like even our own worship isn't our own. He put the song in our mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and hear and put their trust in the Lord. And that culmination of like him making our steps secure, setting our feet upon a rock and then putting the song of praise in our mouth, I've found literally is what I'm experiencing right now and what I experienced this entire last year, and how important, not important, like how essential worship has been. For as he sets my feet upon the rock and I feel like he's the one literally, like when I pick my daughter up and I'm like, stand up, walk, we're going outside, get a move on. Like he puts my feet, he stands me up and is like, come on, I'm with you and we're going. And then he doesn't just make me go, he makes me go singing. And so I'm not quite sure how I got completely off on this side tangent, but I feel very passionate about this whole aspect of how, man, Jesus is so faithful to bring about what he says he will do. And that's just one very small aspect of it, of him humbling us and then in such a humble state, like suffering, picking us back up, making our steps secure, and making us worship in the midst of everything and be thankful in the midst of, man, my losing my husband at 30 years old.
I think it's such a testimony, and we've talked about it a lot, but you have plumbed the depths of suffering and sorrow, and to find that, you know, his grace, like the old saying goes, is deeper still, even than all of that, and even deeper to an extent where it actually overcomes. It just overcomes our suffering, right? How much greater is what we experience in Christ than the things that we face in the world? And so even to the point of putting those two psalms together, right? The humbling that we experience, in many ways, yes, it's a gracious act of God to humble us, whether, and that may be through suffering as well. And that suffering is, can be deeper than many of us can even imagine. But just the testimony of, in the midst of that suffering, his grace is far deeper. Far deeper than that, and far greater than that. And just the promise of that, it's good for people to hear that. I think it's good for people to hear this testimony that you're able to give, that that is true. The promises are true, right? Sometimes we can be familiar with the promises, even memorize them, but to live them out and walk in the midst of them, that's what, it enlivens our faith, obviously, but also I think sheds light around to other people in the body of Christ. And just praise God for that.
I want to ask something real quick. We talked about it a little bit, Becca, how when you're going through suffering, you read the Bible differently. It's like more honest and literal, and you read some of God's promises, and sometimes you're kind of like, okay, I'm banking my life on this. What's this going to look like in my life? When our daughter went to heaven, the verse that death had lost its sting was like confusing to me for a little while, because I was like, you're really going to call this just a sting? Are you kidding me? Like, this is way worse than a sting. With time, the Lord helped me understand that, that ultimately, yes, absolutely, death has lost its ultimate sting. Our loved ones are in heaven. But I was just wondering how, because I know you have a very honest relationship with the Lord, and you've had wrestling and conversations with him because you're taking his word literally and honestly. Maybe there's listeners who feel like they're in a season where they believe God's word, they believe his promises, but some, there's maybe some verses they're like wrestling with, and how you have worked through that.
Yeah. So one of them was in Luke 11 when he says, like, how to pray. This is how you pray. And then he goes on to say, and you know, as evil people, how to give your kids good gifts. How do I also not know how to give my kids good gifts? And I remember telling the Lord, I'm not asking for $1 million. I'm not asking for like the material things of this world. I'm asking for you to let me keep my husband to father his kids. Like, this is something that you want. You want me to stay with my husband. You want him to father his children. You want him to see the nation come to repentance and knowledge of the Lord. And so these aren't things that I know these are things you want, because in your kingdom, in heaven, obviously there's no cancer. So cancer isn't something that you love. And so I'm praying for things that like and against things that you hate, sickness and death. What I feel like I processed with him, I feel like he gave me a snake. I feel like I got the rock. And then, but I'm literally, by saying that, completely missing the last verse of Luke 11, where he says, how much more so will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And so his promise isn't to give you what you're asking for, in that passage, at least. Talk about when he says, ask anything in my name, and I'll give it to you. But in that passage, he promises the Holy Spirit. And then I'm just like, yes, I'm floored by how much of the Holy Spirit I've gotten. That passage only rings truer in my life, because you have filled me overflowing with your Spirit so many times, I mean, daily. And so it like brought me back in, of I've seen that, and his presence isn't something that is just like, oh, he's there, like just kind of willy-nilly hanging out. Like, not to like throw my brother under the bus, but I have a teenage brother who, you know, comes to the family events, but, you know, hangs out in the corner, just not really involved as much. And I think that's like, you know, teenage boys, just like, what are y'all talking about? Serious things? I'm okay. Jesus isn't hanging out in the corner, just kind of like, I'm here, but I'm not really present. Jesus is literally like up in my business and like sitting next to me, holding me. But not just that, he's also husbanding me. I had this, I'll just share this. It was intimate, but this isn't super like vulnerable. But Chris and I liked to dance together in the kitchen. I mean, he was usually cooking. He was a party. Anybody that knew him was, he loved to sing and dance. He was just so much fun. And so he would dance with me in the kitchen. And I was cooking one night. This is after Chris had passed. And some Christmas music came on that we had once danced to. And I was like, Holy Spirit, you've got to dance with me, because I feel very alone, but I know you can meet that need, even that silly need of feeling like, I just want to dance with someone right now. And so this feels like almost childish, but now I look back, I'm like, no, it's beautiful. The Holy Spirit, I felt like, danced with me in the kitchen. And then I started crying because I just missed Chris. And I also was like, now I need to be held. Please hold me. And he held me. And so I look at scriptures like ask, seek, knock, and all of the ones that are like, even if a righteous person prays, they'll get what they want, or what they're asking for. And I just see him saying, and this is, you know, so it's not ironic, just sweet. Chris and I have been training on persevering in prayer for years. And one of the main points we made always was that you are going to get more of the Spirit, and he's going to show up with his presence every single time. Like, he never denies his presence. He always says yes. And when we come to him, if we will humbly come to him, he will just generously dump, doesn't also seem like the right word, but I'm not great with words anyway, but he just lavishes, there's a better word, lavishes his Spirit and his presence on us, and it satisfies. And so all of these passages where I was like, I'm asking, I'm seeking, I'm knocking. And he says, I'm here. I'm not just going to give you the fish. I'm going to give you the whole ocean. I'm going to give you the source of all things. I'm not just going to give you, like when we go to the bank, I'm not just going to give you $5. I'm going to give you the whole bank. I am the source of everything. So I'm not just going to give you what you're asking. I'm going to give you me. And so he helped me understand so much more about, I can ask and still expect good things from my Father. But the answer is always a hearty yes and amen for his presence and him and getting the source of all things. And so he satisfies, and he has.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, for people that have walked through this with you and seen and heard these stories along the way, just what an amazing testimony and encouragement it's been to us. And an encouragement, again, not to highlight people, but to highlight Christ's sufficiency and his nearness. I think maybe in some circles that we run in, it's easy to affirm all the right things about God, but not experience his closeness and experience his approval and experience his comfort. And so praise God for that testimony. And you, again, shining that light broadly for how he does that. What would you want people to know who maybe are in the midst of suffering right now, or as we all will at some point enter into suffering like this? What would you say to folks in suffering right now?
I would say that our God is a deeply personal God. While we operate as the body and we are one with the body, and the church will show up, and even other people might come along you with similar suffering, he knows you and he knows your suffering. And while it can be easy to compare yourself to someone else, they may be even going through similar suffering, like it seems like a very similar situation, the Holy Spirit wants you to know that your story is uniquely yours, and he will show up in the same way he did for other people. He's equally faithful to everyone. He's not going to show favoritism. My story is not a story of like, oh, I'm not a one-off. God's faithfulness is the same for everyone, and he wants to meet everyone intimately in all forms of suffering. Like, he met me in the form of suffering that was just having to deal with my kids on my own while Chris was still alive, while he was in the hospital. So a mom who has their husband on a work trip and is just handling more than normal, while that's not, they might be like, that's not suffering in comparison to blah, 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 it has its own challenges. And God wants to meet you in every single challenge. There's no challenge that is too insignificant that he doesn't want to show his preeminence and his love towards you. And if you were find yourself in the really weighty stuff too, he wants to meet you there, but you don't have to have the same story as the next person. He wants to show his faithfulness to you in a unique way, because that's how infinite our God is. He can be faithful in different ways to different people, and show his love with the breadth and the depth. Like, my prayer would be at the end of the day, the same as Paul's. I pray that you would know the breadth and width and depth and full understanding of his love for you, and that he just loves you so much. It's more than I can't convey it. That's why Paul just kept listing different metrics. It's mm-hmm. so grand and infinite. He loves you so much, no matter what suffering you're going through or what joy you're going through. He loves you so much.
I feel honestly like inspired to go worship the Lord and just go spend time with him. Truly.
Amen.
You've had to go through such deep, deep, real sorrow. You're in the midst of such real sorrow. And yet there is such hope. And I somehow, as your friend and listening to you, can both feel sorrow and sadness with you, but also feel very strengthened in my spirit just from the Lord, and feel even this invitation from the Lord to draw near to him and let him meet me, even in my life, in my daily life. So thank you for sharing some of those personal moments as well.
Yeah.
It's
just been an honor and a joy. First of all, just to be able to walk with y'all when we were COVID neighbors, and from the very beginning, just to see his hand upon y'all and his grace in your lives, and to walk through this together and to see you honor him. Mm-hmm.
And we've been able to hear from you today, but Chris himself pointed to the preeminence of Christ all through his journey.
Absolutely. No doubt.
Becca, thank you so much. We love you, sister. We're so thankful for you. and thankful for the Lord's provision and his grace and his love that you have testified to so beautifully, and how he sustains all of us. Thank you. Mm-hmm.